Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
How you doing, Red Sox fans? Welcome to another episode of the Believe in Red Sox podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the starting pitching. I'm liking the starting pitching for the Red Sox this year. We're going to dive all into the start. How you doing, Red Sox fans? Welcome to another episode of the Believe in Red Sox podcast. In this episode, we're going to dive into the starting pitching as we continue to preview the 2023 Red Sox. How you doing, everyone? Welcome to episode 30 of the Believe in Red Sox podcast. That is a little bit of a milestone there. The big 3-0. We just continue to get these episodes on out to all of you, wherever you are listening, whether that's here on YouTube. I put all the episodes on my YouTube channel, but you can also listen to this in podcast format as well. Spotify, Google, Stitcher, however you listen to your podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Believe in Red Sox podcast. We're going to talk about the starting pitching here. I'm liking the starting pitching for the Red Sox this year. You know, I think there's a lot of potential for it. I think there are a lot of question marks with this rotation, but I do think there is a potential for a very high ceiling in this Red Sox rotation. Now, we're continuing on with our previews for the 2023 Red Sox. I did discuss the offense in the last episode, so if you haven't seen that, go check that out. I talked about the lineup. I gave a lineup that I thought was appropriate. I kind of just did a little dive on, you know, each of the players in that lineup. So make sure to go check that out if you haven't. So I'll do the starting pitching here in this episode. Next episode, I'll probably talk the bullpen. And then another episode, I'll probably talk prospects, you know, just strictly focus on, you know, the farm. I think there's a good amount to talk about when it comes to the prospects. So be on the lookout for that episode as well. And then eventually, you know, I'll do an episode on my predictions for the Red Sox this year. So make sure that you're keeping an eye out for all of these episodes. Make sure if you are here on YouTube, if you can, subscribe to the channel, like the video if you can. And if you are listening to this, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, it would go so very, very far if you can leave a 5-star review. That would be amazing. Share the podcast with anyone you know. That would be amazing as well. Enough of me rambling here. Let's get into this episode. But before I do get to the episode, we do got to go over today's sponsor, and that is BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC and more. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Alrighty, now all the rambling there is done. Let's get to it here. There's a lot to talk about. Like I said, there's a lot of question marks with this rotation, but I think there's a pretty high ceiling with this Red Sox starting pitching staff as well. Now, let's start off here on Fangraphs. You all know I love me some Fangraphs. As of right now, they're projecting the Red Sox to have the 13th best starting pitching If we're taking a look at individual Fangraph wars, they're giving Chris Sale a 2.6. They're giving Garrett Whitlock a 2.6 as well. They're giving Brian Baio a 1.6, Corey Kluber a 1.7, Nick Pivetta a 1.4, and James Paxton a 1.5. And there's a few other guys like Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, Brian Mata, Brandon Walter, who have a few points as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go pitcher by pitcher here. I'm going to just walk through this rotation. And where I am going to start is a guy who a lot of people thought was going to be starting on opening day, and that is Chris Sale. But Chris Sale will not be the opening day starter, which that might be very surprising to a lot of people out there. Corey Kluber is getting the nod for opening day. So a lot of people are thinking, well, what's going on here? Chris Sale, this is our ace. This is our workhorse. This is our guy. Why is he not starting opening day? Well, Alex Cora did touch on this, and he did give a comment. He actually said that he came up with this decision over a month ago. He said, here, you can write that one down. He's not going to start opening day. I want him to enjoy opening day as a regular baseball player. Just the whole opening day thing, wherever he pitches in the rotation is where he'll pitch in the rotation. Now, Chris Sale did actually give his own comments to The Athletic about this, and he says here, opening day is always a very special day. It's like Christmas for baseball players, but the last few I've been a part of, I wasn't playing. So it was like showing up on Christmas morning with no presents. It's still Christmas, but you're not doing a whole lot. I think Cora didn't want me to be overamped for it, and I think he truly just wants me to be able to soak in opening day, enjoy it, appreciate it for what it is, and not have to worry about getting ready for a start. It's a spectacle. It's an absolute circus. The people, the media coverage, the flyover, the anthem. It's just everybody on the line, players, personnel, the whole nine. So what are my thoughts on this? I'm okay with it. You know, hey, I appreciate that Alex Cora is looking at more of the person. Chris Sale, you know, sure, he fell off his bike last year. His finger exploded at Yankee Stadium. He's been through a lot. He had the Tommy John, you know, a few years ago. But Chris Sale has been through a lot, and I appreciate that Cora is simply just looking at the human being instead of the pitcher. And, you know, for Chris Sale, you know, this is something he hasn't done for a long time. You know, go out there on opening day and just enjoy it, you know, just like they said. I think that's going to be a really good thing for him. I think the biggest goal for Chris Sale this year, you know, I'm not Chris Sale, obviously, but if it were me, if I were Chris Sale and I was setting a goal, setting an expectation for myself for this year, I'm looking to start 30 games. I'm looking to get close, you know, 180, 200 innings pitched. That's my goal, because I know if I hit those numbers, if I get through this whole season, you know, in a consistent fashion, no hiccups, no problems, you know, no nothing, then you know the results are going to come, because Chris Sale is still a very talented pitcher. And he's having himself a dandy of a spring as well. He has been looking really solid. A lot of smiles all the way around too. It's not very often you see Chris Sale smile. And for him to be smiling in spring training, I think that's a really good sign. I think he's at peace with how things have been going the last few years. And I think he's just ready to just go out there every fifth day and just pitch. You know, I think he's going to have himself a really good season, you know, barring any, you know, fluke kind of injuries. That's really what's been going on with him. Fluky kind of stuff, you know, the finger at Yankee Stadium, falling off of his bike, you know, the rib injury or whatever the heck happened. He was ripping TVs off of walls or whatever with the Woo Sox. So Chris Sale, I think he's going to have himself a good year, man. You know, he's looking good. He's looking happy. And, you know, if we go back here to his numbers, his last good season was in 2018, that World Series championship winning team. He was so good that year. He did miss a few starts that year, but my goodness, the numbers were absolutely off the charts. He had 13.5 strikeouts per nine, under two walks per nine, under a home run per nine, a 2.11 ERA, a 1.98 FIP, a 6.2 Fangraph WAR overall. Now, do I think he can get back to those numbers? I feel like if I were a betting man, if I'm laying money down on the table, I'm looking for Chris Sale. I honestly think he can have anywhere around like a 5 Fangraph WAR. I do think that is in the cards, you know, a 4 to a 5. I think that is very possible for him. To me, if you got that out of Chris Sale, I really do think that is a very successful season. The the talent is still there. You know, last year in the 5 2/3 innings that he did pitch, he was averaging 95 miles an hour with the fastball. He still has the velocity. The slider is still looking rather crisp. He's been looking good this spring. So again, I'm not worried about Chris Sale, you know, when it comes to a performance point of view. I'm just more, and even honestly at this point, I'm not even really too worried about him from a health point of view. I'm just worried about, I'm not worried, I don't want to say that. I'm more, I just want him to just focus on just being a happy Chris Sale, just having a fun year. And I think the Red Sox, hey, I'm going to talk more of my predictions for the Red Sox at some point down the road, but I think they're going to have a fun season. And I'm liking the way, you know, the team is vibing at the moment. Chris Sale, I'm not really too worried about him at the moment. Now, let's talk about the opening day starter, and that is Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber has also been looking really good for the Red Sox this spring. He's had 4 starts. He looked really good against the Rays the other day. Let's take a look at the stat line. He had 5 innings pitched, 4 hits, gave up a run. He struck out 6. I am really liking how Corey Kluber is looking. To me, I thought this was the perfect addition for the Red Sox. I thought he was going to come to the Red Sox a couple of years ago. He went to the Yankees, and then last year he went to the Rays. And then finally, coming to the Red Sox. He has a home in Massachusetts, so I thought this guy would have been with us, you know, a few years ago. But here he is. To me, I thought this was a perfect signing because this is a guy who is a veteran guy. He's going to give you innings. You know, sure, he was having some health issues not too long ago. You know, and with the Yankees, he was also having some stuff going on there. But last year, he did look really solid. He started 31 games, 164 innings pitched, a 4.34 ERA. Doesn't look amazing, but when you look at the FIP, a 3.57, that is really solid overall. To me, Corey Kluber, he doesn't have the velocity anymore, but what I really like about him is that he limits the hard hit balls. He doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. The guy barely walks anyone. He walked 3% of hitters last year. That is absolutely phenomenal. The guy's a strike-throwing machine. Now, in the second half last year, he did have some bumps. He had a 5.14 ERA in the second half. In the first half, he had a 3.73. Now, if I would take a look at the FIPs, his FIPs were actually pretty close to each other. Sure, the second half ERA for Corey Kluber was a little high, but his FIP in the second half was a 3.77 and his xFIP was a 3.94 compared to a 3.90 in the first half. I think Corey Kluber is going to be just fine. To me, I think he's a perfect fit. The fact that the guy limits the hard contact, that's already going to work so well at Fenway Park. He's got a good defense behind him. I'm very happy that Corey Kluber is in this rotation. And to me, I think he's a solid guy for opening day. I mean, at the end of the day, who cares who's pitching opening day? That's my honest opinion on it. It doesn't really matter who starts opening day. What I care about is who is pitching the last game of your season, whatever that last game may end up being, you know, whether or not that's the end of the regular season, not making the playoffs, or the last game winning a World Series. That's what I care about at the end of the day. I don't care who's pitching the first game. I care about, you know, how you finish. That's what I'm looking at. So Corey Kluber, to me, this is a guy, opening day, solid choice. And you know, hey, for Corey Kluber, this guy's had a great career. I'm glad he's getting another opening day nod. I think, you know, people aren't really focusing on that too much with Corey Kluber. Hey, this guy's getting another opening day start. I think that's fantastic. You know, it's a bit of an honor in itself. And I like that Corey Kluber, this is a guy with the Indians not too long ago, was the best pitcher in baseball. I love that he's getting another opening day nod. I think that's pretty cool. So, Corey Kluber, I'm excited about him in this rotation. I could see him, you know, last year he had a 3.0 Fangraph WAR. I could see a 2.5 to a 3 again. I think he's just going to be a solid guy, just someone that's going to give you innings, give you starts. You know, he's going to make his turn every fifth day. I'm very happy about that. That's what I think the Red Sox need, and hopefully good health stays with him. You know, he is 36 years old now, but I think he's probably found a point now where he is able to manage himself and he's able to get through a full season. So very happy he is with the Red Sox at this point. Speaking of consistency, let's talk Nick Pivetta. This is another guy who's going to give you a ton of innings, 33 starts last year. And actually, over the last couple of years, he has had at least 30 starts in each of the seasons. He had 30 starts in 21 and 33 starts last year. He has pitched at least 150 innings over the last 2 seasons. Now, Nick Pivetta, this is a guy who, sure, he looked like an ace at times last year. He really did. This guy was phenomenal in May and June. If you remember those runs that he was on during those couple of months, the guy was just on top of his game to the point where people were looking at him as an all-star. I thought there was an argument where he could have been an all-star. He had a really bad start to last year. The first few starts that he had, he was getting knocked around, but then he got on track, and then he kind of fell apart again. He had a rough month in July. August, he was okay, you know, but the last month, he got hit around a little bit more. So my big goal, you know, for Pivetta this year is just more consistency, you know, not so many highs and lows. I just want smooth sailing for Nick Pivetta. Overall, the numbers weren't atrocious. He had a 4.56 ERA last year, had a 4.42 FIP. But again, he got really knocked around in the month of July. He had an ERA over 9 in that month. So again, I think just more consistency out of him, I think, is going to go a long way. In the end, I think Pivetta, to me, I think he's a great guy to have for the rotation. I think I look at him as more of a 4 in a rotation, but that's not a bad thing. I think if you have a number 4 starter that's giving you 30 starts in a year, I think that's really good, honestly. So Nick Pivetta, I just need a little bit more consistency out of him this year. Now, let's talk a little Garrett Whitlock. You want to talk consistency? Let's talk Garrett Whitlock. Now, you can look at it from a couple of different point of views from last year when it comes to consistency with him. You can look at it going back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen and his health as well. I could say last year was a very inconsistent year for Garrett Whitlock, you know, just in a different way from Pivetta. Whitlock has the performance. The guy's numbers are great, you know, but it's the problem with him was, where was this guy going to be? Was he going to be in the rotation? Was he going to be in the bullpen? What was this guy doing? And he had 31 games last year. He had 9 starts, 78 and a third innings pitched. He had a 3.45 ERA and a 3.29 FIP, around 9.5 strikeouts per 9, under 2 walks per 9, around a home run per 9. Velocity on average still looked pretty good at 96 miles an hour. Garrett Whitlock has all the potential in the world to be a very, very good pitcher. At one point, I thought this guy was our closer for the long term. I thought, all right, we have found our guy. We have found our closer. This is our guy, but he wants to start. The Red Sox view him as a starter. And, you know, the one problem I had with Garrett Whitlock last year is I just felt like he wasn't able to go very deep into games. He had a couple of 6-inning outings. You know, if you go back to May 27th and June 1st, he had back-to-back 6-inning outings. But there were a lot of times where he was only throwing 3 innings, 5 innings, 4 innings. You know, I need him to go deeper into these games. If he can give you 5, 6, 7 innings every start, that is going to be a really good Garrett Whitlock. So, and another thing with him was the health. His season got cut short last year because of the hip. He did have hip surgery in the offseason, and everything is looking pretty good. He actually just made his first bit of action this spring, throwing against the Rays after Corey Kluber did. He threw a couple of innings, looked really good. He actually had some comments here where he says here, another step in the right direction. It felt good. It was fun getting out there and trying to be quick. So if we go back to that outing, he threw 2 innings. He did not give up a hit. He walked 1 and he struck out 3. So very solid work from Garrett Whitlock. To me, if Garrett Whitlock can just go a little deeper into games, I think this guy, he has the potential, in my personal opinion, to be a really good 2 or a 3 in a rotation. Again, I just need him to go deeper into these games. And when I'm talking about, you know, being able to go deep into games, you know, I think that really comes down to, what is your pitch mix? You know, what is your repertoire? When you look at Garrett Whitlock, you know, last year he threw a sinking fastball 62% of the time. He threw a changeup 20% of the time, and he threw a slider 18% of the time. Now, I think with him, you know, could he add possibly another pitch at some point? You know, could he mix in a 4-seamer as well along with the sinker? You know, I think that could go a long way, you know, kind of mix it up. And I think that could help him get deeper into the games where hitters aren't really figuring him out so quickly. I think that would really go a long way. But for me, I think the biggest thing right now, you know, could that be something he maybe works on next year? Sure. I think right now, I think it's just about building up the innings, you know, having the good health, building that consistency. I think that's the big thing right now with Garrett Whitlock. But to me, it's very nice to see him, you know, pitching. You know, he got pushed back a little bit this spring, you know, but overall look good against the Rays. I'm excited to see what he can do this coming season. Now, if we're talking about another young guy like Garrett Whitlock, he's getting close to 27 now, and I think he has a ton of potential. But when you're talking potential, I'm looking at Brian Baio, man. Brian Baio, this is the guy. I don't think he's going to be another Pedro Martinez, but he shows glimpses of Pedro. Really does. The changeup is electric. No one will ever have an electric of a changeup as Pedro Martinez did, but Brian Baio sometimes shows little flashes of it, you know? And again, I'm not comparing him to Pedro Martinez. That's a very unfair comparison, but hey, I'm just saying, I loved me some Pedro back in the day, and it's not very often where you see a guy that gives you a little glimpse of him. So he did come up for a cup of coffee last year, a pretty good size cup of coffee. He had 13 games. He had 11 starts down the stretch, 57 and a third innings pitch. The ERA doesn't look good, a 4.71 ERA, but the FIP was a 2.94. The quality of contact that he was giving up, it was very good. He wasn't giving up really any hard hit balls a lot, you know, and when you're looking at projections, when you're looking at future statistics, those tend to go more in those pitchers' favor. Where Eduardo Rodriguez was another guy like that, where his ERA was high a couple of years ago with the Red Sox, but the advanced numbers were really good. And Brian Baio, it's very similar with him. You know, this is a guy with good velocity, a good slider. Like I mentioned, the changeup very good. But this is a guy, man, where he's got a four-pitch mix. This guy could be special. And I think if you can get him into this rotation for a full season, he might start the season, probably not might at this point. I think it's pretty certain that he will start the season a little bit late. He was having some forearm issues that the Red Sox were very cautious about early on in spring, but he is starting to get back out there. He threw in a minor league game this past week, threw a couple of innings there, and he's supposed to be making his first start either this coming Sunday, March 19th, or the Monday, March 20th. So again, he threw a couple of innings facing hitters for the first time this spring. He threw 17 pitches, and I guess everything looked pretty good. So in the end, you know, Brian Baio, we all know the potential with him. I mean, the guy has all the potential in the world, and it would be really fun to see him in this rotation. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, I think he gave a lot of excitement last year. And to me, I think, hey, I'm excited to see what he can do in 2023. I think he could be a Rookie of the Year candidate. You know, I think it's tough for pitchers to get Rookie of the Year. You know, for pitchers, the problem is, you know, we had this, you know, debate last year with Spencer Strider and Michael Harris. The difference with those two guys is Spencer Strider looked so good, but Michael Harris was just playing more often and he was contributing at such a high level, where Spencer Strider was on a completely, you know, my goodness, what he was doing was crazy. But Michael Harris just simply had more of a sample size to work with. Brian Baio, I wonder if he will end up having enough of a sample size to, or enough of a workload, you know, to win Rookie of the Year. I think that's possible with the stuff that he has. I think absolutely he could win it. I think he could at least be in the running for it. But to me, what I like about Brian Baio in this rotation is that you just got a young guy with potential for once. I feel like it's been forever that the Red Sox have had a young starting pitcher that could actually contribute, you know, to a rotation. The last guy that I can think of is John Lester, you know, your Clay Buchholz as well. So it's nice to see that the Red Sox have a top guy that, you know, is going into this rotation. I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping for at least 25 starts out of Brian Baio this year. Sure, you're going to have some growing pains. That's going to happen with a young guy at 23 years old. He's almost 24. But you will see some growing pains, I think. We did see them last year. But I thought it was really important for him to get those 11 starts last year to kind of just get a feel for everything, kind of get used to the energy at Fenway Park. You know, you remember that first start that he had at Fenway. The electricity was there. You could feel it. And he got knocked around a little bit. But I think Baio, I think now that he's gotten his feet wet a little bit, I think he could have himself a very, very good season. Now, if we go take a look here at the next guy up, let's talk a little Tanner Houck. Okay, Tanner Houck, I see him at this point being more in the bullpen, but as of right now, he is projected to be in this Red Sox rotation, at least at the start of the year. If we go take a look at the current rotation as it is, right now, Fangraphs is looking at Corey Kluber for opening day, Chris Sale at number two, Nick Pivetta at number three, and they have Tanner Houck at number four, and then Cutter Crawford at number five. I think Tanner Houck, this is a guy that's going to be kind of your utility knife. I think he's going to bounce back and forth. I think he will get spot starts along the way. He's going to be your guy that comes out of the bullpen for a few innings. You know, if a guy gets knocked around or a guy has to come out of the game a little bit early or, you know, a spot start. I think that's what Tanner Houck is going to be. The problem with Tanner Houck is that he can never just really go deep into games. He lacks the command to really go deeper into those games. I don't think he throws enough strikes. And I think hitters, they tend to pick up on him pretty quickly. But the guy is really good stuff. And in that kind of a role out of the bullpen where you're coming in for a few innings, you know, we saw it in the playoffs, you know, a couple of years ago against the Rays, how good he looked, you know, coming out of that bullpen. I think Houck, man, you know, I don't think you're going to see a lot of him in the rotation, but he'll be that spot starter kind of a guy. But either way, you know, talking about young guys here, Tanner Houck, hey, 26 years old. I think he could have himself a good year out of this bullpen. I think he just needs to know what is his role. And it seems like at this point, it is more of a bullpen role that tends to feel the best with him. But I would expect more bullpen work out of him this coming year. Now, another question mark is James Paxton. Now, James Paxton actually had a start against the Twins early on in the spring, and then another flare-up with James Paxton and tweaking the hamstring a little bit. He went 1 2/3 innings. He was looking really good. He retired all five batters he faced. He got a strikeout, and then he tweaked his hamstring, and we haven't really seen much more of him, you know, since then. But the Red Sox, they're just trying to get this guy to the season. They're just trying to get some innings out of this guy. So I definitely think they're going to baby it a little bit. So Alex Cora did have some word on it. He said, I think obviously with him, we've got to be very careful. It's a shame because he was throwing the heck out of the ball. His location was great. Velocity was up. And then that happened. Hopefully it's nothing and we can just continue to move on. Now, with the hamstring, the last thing that we've heard was actually a report out today, according to Jim McCaffrey of The Athletic, saying that he's going to be continuing to undergo, you know, testing on the hamstring. So no word yet on kind of what the status is with him. But hey, you know, James Paxton, it's kind of hard to really say, you know, what you're going to get out of him because, you know, it's always something with him. It's the back or it's the lat or it's his arm or now it's the hamstring. So, you know, my hope for James Paxton, if I were to give him a goal for this year, I'm hoping at least 20 starts. I'm hoping that might be a bit of a pipe dream with James Paxton. But if you can get at least 20 starts out of the guy, I think that is a successful year for someone like James Paxton. But what I like about the idea of him in this rotation is, you know, you have Chris Sale as a lefty, but as of right now, you don't have any other lefties. I would like another lefty. I'm one of those guys where I like balance, you know. I like having, you know, a few righties, a couple of lefties. Paxton would be awesome for this rotation, you know, a veteran guy. But that's why it is important to have these other guys like Tanner Houck, you know, like a young Brian Bayo coming up, you know, like Garrett Whitlock as well. That's why it's important for those guys to be here, because someone like Paxton, if you can just have the insurance, right, then, you know, Paxton, you know, whatever you can get out of him, that could go a long way. You know, even if you get, like, you know, let's say 15 starts, and then let's say the Red Sox can make the postseason. I know a lot of people might be laughing at that kind of a statement, but let's say the Red Sox do make the postseason, and then Paxton, you know, he can end up maybe contributing, you know, to some postseason baseball, you know, maybe coming out of the bullpen or something like that, maybe a spot start. To me, that's what my goal for James Paxton is just get whatever you can out of this guy. You know, 10, 15 starts, I would hope is doable. 20 starts right now would be a pipe dream. But luckily, it was the hamstring. I'll say that. Luckily, it was just that. And it wasn't anything with his arm. It wasn't anything with his back. So James Paxton, I'm just hoping for some health. Fangraphs, they do have some projections for him. They're looking at 35 games, 23 starts, 133 innings, 4.16 ERA, a 3.98 FIP. I think those numbers are doable. You know, it's just a matter of, is he going to be able to hold up? Now, I just mentioned, you know, a couple of young guys, talking about Brian Bayo, Garrett Whitlock, Tanner Houck. Another young guy I want you to keep your eye out for is Brian Mata. I think Brian Mata could have an impact on this team this year. This guy has got some good stuff. And let me actually go pull up some numbers here with Brian Mata. He has been looking pretty good so far this spring. And as of right now, he is, remember Brian Mata, he was a top prospect for the Red Sox at one point. Remember he had to get Tommy John, ended up, you know, kind of going away for a little while. But Brian Mata, as of right now on MLB Pipeline, is the number 7 prospect. And so far in this spring, he's pitched in 4 games. He's pitched in relief roles. He did get sent down back to the minor league camp. So we will see him start the year in AAA, which I think is completely okay. But in 4 games this spring, he pitched 7 innings, struck out 6, did not give up a run. I think Brian Mata, man, his stuff has been looking really good. And Alex Cora, he's been seeing this as well, man. If we go take a look, Brian Mata, according to Alex Cora, has been looking really good. The ability is there. This is where we are at now. You start talking about these kids, Bayo and Mata and Whitlock and Tanner. You see it coming. At one point, Mata is going to be part of this, and he's going to be able to help us win a few games. Those are big words coming from Alex Cora. Alex Cora is not going to just throw around words like that. You know, if he's going to say something like that, he is going to absolutely mean it. Alex Cora has a good eye for talent. And if he sees a guy out there, you know, who's throwing with good stuff and he's handling major league hitters, you know, Cora, if he's saying words like these, I absolutely think Mata is going to be up at some point. And I'm excited about it, man. He's got some good stuff. He's got a big fastball. He's got a good changeup as well. Has a slider and a curveball mix in there as well. But I would not be unhappy at all for him to just get some more time at AAA. Remember, he came back last year, had to work his way up through the minors yet again. He was in A ball for a start. He threw a couple innings. Then he went to high A, had a few starts there. And then those are more like kind of rehab assignments. But then he went back to double A. He had 9 starts there, 10 games overall. He had a 1.85 ERA over those 10 games and 48 2/3 innings pitched. And then at AAA, he had 5 games. He had 23 1/3 innings pitched, a 3.47 ERA. He had right around 11.5 strikeouts per 9 during those 5 starts. The one problem with Mata last year, it was the command. You know, to me, I think that could be a bit of a rust thing. He hasn't always been the best with his command. Right now, Fangraphs gives him a grade of 40, could be a 50 at some point down the road. But I do think that is something he needs to work on in the minors a little bit, just to kind of clean up his game a little bit. You know, if we're taking a look at the spring training stats, taking a look here, again, I pulled up the 7 innings and 6 strikeouts, but that looks good. But I just want him to be focusing on the command. That to me, if he can clean up that part of his game, because if he doesn't have that in the majors, he's gonna have trouble, because these guys up in the majors, man, they're just so disciplined up here. And Brian Mata, I think if he gets that part of his game cleaned up, I think the sky's the limit for the guy. And with that big fastball, absolutely, this guy can contribute to this rotation, or at least a bullpen role. I'm excited to see what Brian Mata can do. I'm glad to see his name start to pop up a little bit. Speaking of other prospects, there's another guy here. Brian Mata is number 7. And I'm also looking at the number 8 guy, Brandon Walter. Brandon Walter, this is a guy who shot up through the minors last year. He actually was looking really good at one point. When he got to AAA, he got knocked around in a couple of starts, but in double A last year, he was looking really good. 9 starts, he had 50 innings pitched. He had 12 strikeouts per 9 and half a walk per 9. That is nuts. He barely walks, guys. A 2.88 ERA during that time, a 2.73 FIP. Really good numbers at double A, but then he got to AAA. He started getting knocked around a little bit. The ERA, I mean, when you only got 2 starts, I mean, ERA can definitely look inflated. It was an 8.22, but the FIP was a 3.64. So I think, you know, kind of similar with Mata. You know, Walter is a guy I think you could see at some point this year, you know, maybe get a spot start, maybe come in, you know, maybe for a bullpen role or something down the road. But he has good stuff, man. A good fastball. He's got a good slider. Pretty solid changeup. The command, you know, he really showed good command last year in the minor leagues. And he's actually shown it in the minors. Last year in AAA, though, he did walk a few guys in those 7 2/3 innings. So, I think Walter, it's just a matter of getting his reps in, you know, getting his starts in. I think there could be a lot to like with Brandon Walter down the road. And I think you could see him a little bit this year, maybe get a couple of spot starts. So when it comes to other guys, there's another guy I want to, Red Sox fans, I want to keep an eye out for, and that's Matt Dermody. He's a veteran guy. He's been like a career minor leaguer for the most part. He has been in the majors at different points in his career. He's been with the Blue Jays. He's been with the Cubs. But he's been in the minors a lot. And the Red Sox signed him this past year. He was a non-roster invite. And he actually did look pretty good this spring. He had four games total, and he started one. He had 8 1/3 innings pitched, and he struck out 10. So Matt Dermody, there was something that the Red Sox saw with him, and this is a guy who has a pretty decent mix of pitches. He's got a fastball. He's got a slider. He's got a changeup. He's got a sinker. He's got a cutter. Hey, if the Red Sox can figure something out with him, you know, this could be like kind of one of those diamonds in the rough kind of guys that they just find and they can work with him. You know, I think keep an eye out for him. I think this is a guy who definitely could see some time in the majors, you know, kind of like someone like we saw last year with Cutter Crawford, who is right now projected to be the number 5 guy. Cutter Crawford, at least to start the season, you know, you got a couple of guys that are a little behind in spring. But Cutter Crawford, he started 12 games last year, 21 games overall. He had 77 1/3 innings pitched. He had a 5.47 ERA, but he had a 4.34 FIP. That's around league average. So Cutter Crawford, you know, funny enough, I actually saw Cutter Crawford's debut against the Rangers a couple of years ago, and he got knocked around quite, or was it the Rangers or was it the Indians at the time? I can't remember, but I did see his debut, and he's a guy that he has a lot of pitches that he works with. That's what kind of reminds me of the Matt, when we're looking at Matt Dermody. You know, Cutter Crawford has a lot of pitches that he can throw as well. But, you know, Cutter Crawford, I think this is a guy, he's going to bounce in and out of the rotation. But I would say overall, last year, you know, this is really like his first year of major league ball. He was getting around 9 strikeouts per 9. You know, he had a few walks per 9. There were a couple of starts last year where he did look pretty good. I think Crawford at this point, he's a guy, he's going to give you some innings. He's going to give you some spot starts along the way. So, you know, 26 years old. Hey, you know what? Hey, I think there's a lot more room to grow with this kind of a guy. So don't be surprised to see him getting some spot starts along the way, especially, you know, with some of the question marks that are in this rotation. Would not be surprised at all to see Crawford be contributing to this rotation. But everyone, I think I've pretty much given all of my thoughts here on this Red Sox rotation. Overall, you know, just to give my final thoughts, this Red Sox rotation, I think there is a high ceiling for it. Right now, there's question marks. You're not really sure what this rotation is going to be. I think this could be a really good rotation. I think it has the potential to be a top 10 starting pitching staff in the major leagues. You know, could it be a top 5? I don't know. That might be a bit of a stretch. But I think if everything comes together, guys are healthy and guys are on top of their game, Chris Sale back to ace form, Kluber, Pivetta giving you solid innings, you know, in the middle of that rotation, young guys stepping up at the back end of the rotation, guys like Brian Mata, you know, maybe Walter at some point coming in, you know, giving some really good spot starts, maybe even contributing out of the bullpen a little bit. I think this Red Sox rotation could be really good. I would probably lean more towards, I think there's more potential for them to be a top 10, but than a top 5. I don't know. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but I think they have potential to be top 10 overall. But let me know your thoughts down below in the comments. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm very intrigued to think or to see what you all think. And if you are listening to this, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, I want to thank you for joining in. Thank you for listening to what my dope self has to say. And everyone, if you are with me here on YouTube, please hit that like button for me. If you are new, think about subscribing to the channel. We're trying to get to 30K by opening day. And if you are with me here on a podcast or on a podcast platform, if you can, please give a 5-star review. That would really go a long way to help get this podcast out into the algorithm a little bit more. Everyone, I want to thank you so much for joining me here for episode 30, talking about the Red Sox starting pitching. Next episode, we're going to dive into the bullpen. And then probably the episode after that, we're going to talk the prospects. And then I'll go over my predictions for the Red Sox this coming season. So really be on the lookout over the next couple of weeks. We got opening day fast approaching. But everyone, I want to thank you for joining me today. And as always, have yourself a great day. If you are listening to this in the morning, have yourself a good rest of your day wherever you are. But everyone, I will talk to you all next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.